Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother G. Sullivan. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
We're going to be talking about last Wednesday. We were talking about the type of worship that God desired from us. And it wasn't the type of worship that we wanted to give him or what we thought that he liked. No, the only way that we could find out what kind of worship that he desired was to read his word. I'm going to say amen to that. Because if you don't read his word, you're just going to just do what everybody else does. You're just going to do what everybody else does. They worship him, however, and then you're just going to pick it up, and it's just going to come like, oh, that's how they worship the Lord. But there's certain ways to worship the Lord, and so that's what we talked about last week. But tonight, we're going to talk about a lifestyle that pleases the Lord. How many want to live that kind of a lifestyle? You know, how many fall short of that? We all fall short. We all fall short. And so that's a good thing, is that God's word and God himself, man, he wants to remind us who we are. You know, and we need to be reminded by his word. And we not only reminded, but we need to be also encouraged by his word. How many can say amen to that? Because if there's a wrong, Jesus can always fix it. How many can say amen to that? I don't care what it is or what you've done, there ain't nothing too big that God can't turn around for the good and for his use. Amen? So tonight, before we even get into the word, I'll tell you what. We're going to read this portion of scripture first. And if you want to title it, like I said, you could title it The Life That Pleases God, or The Life, or Living a Life That Pleases the Lord. Either way, I'm not one for titles, but you can title it like that. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Century Version, so it reads a little different, but it was the clearest version that I could get, and I wanted you guys to understand it better. But before we even do that, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, tonight we thank you once again, God, for allowing us to come and to be in your presence and to hear from your word tonight, oh God. I pray that, Lord, as you've allowed me this opportunity, this privilege, God, that I would reverence who you are. And that I would come here, stand here tonight, God, totally dependent on your Holy Spirit. That I would not come up here, man, thinking that it's me. Let it be your word, because it's your word that transforms our hearts, oh God, and our minds and our soul. Let your word, God, do what it's been purposed to do, Lord, I ask, in your most precious name tonight, Lord. I pray that no one leaves here the same. That you would have a special word for each and every one of us, including myself, tonight. And that when it's all said and done, you would be glorified. You would be magnified. Your name would be high and lifted up. We ask these in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm going to read out of the New Century Version, like I said, so it reads differently, but it's a little clearer. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through 8. It says, brothers and sisters, we taught you how to live in a way that will please God. And you are living that way. How many can say amen to that? At least we're trying to. Amen? We're trying to. At least we should be trying to. Like I said, we all fall short. We all ain't perfect, and we know that. But that should be something that, you know what? We need to all at least be trying to be better than who we were. Amen? Amen? Now, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus to live that way even more. You know what we told you to do by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy and to stay away from sexual sins. He wants each of you to learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Don't use your body for sexual sins like the people who don't know God. Did you hear that? How many in here know God? Amen? Okay, so we're not like the people that don't know God. And you know, the people that don't know God, they're acting crazy out there. You can just turn on your TV and see what's going on. But also, do not wrong or cheat another Christian in this way. The Lord will punish people who do those things, as we have already told and warned you. Verse 7, God called us to be holy and does not want us to live in sin. So the person who refuses to obey this teaching is disobeying God, not simply a human teaching. And because God, He is the one who has given us His Holy Spirit. How many can say amen to that? Amen. We just heard something. How many know that, you know, sometimes, you know, trying to live a life as a Christian or a born-again believer isn't always easy? Or is it just me that struggles? It's not easy. And we need to be honest with ourselves. You know why we need to be honest with ourselves? Because God knows everything about us. And there's nothing that goes past Him unseen that we do, that we think, anything that we might conceal or think that's hidden. There's nothing hidden before God. Amen? And I know we can all relate to this. And sometimes, you know, it might even seem that we're failing more than we're succeeding in being a Christian. Amen? You continue to do those same old things that you've done even when you weren't saved. You still do them. You have a little bit more conviction now, but you still find yourself doing those things. See, now, one thing we need to understand is that none of us will ever, ever be totally free of sin. Amen? So we understand that as well. But that's not something that we could use as an excuse. Well, the Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory, and I'm going to just keep on sinning because the Bible says that we all sin and we all fall short. But that's not what He means. Amen? You know what? When we accepted Christ in our life, the Bible says now that we are what? A new creation now. We are a new creation now, and so we should have desires within us now that want to do good. Desires that want to please God. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, if you're grateful and thankful for what God has done in your life, you know, I know I'm grateful for God. And if someone has done something so mighty and so great and so wonderful in your life that you know that you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Him, wouldn't you want to please that person? Wouldn't you want to please that person? Well, that's what God asks of us once we've come into His saving knowledge, is that we would live a life, we just read, that we would live a life that was holy and pleasing and honorable unto Him. How many can say amen to that? And like I said, I know we all fall short, you know, and the Bible says that if you say yet you don't, that you are what? That you're a liar. And the truth of God is not in you. We all do. But it's one thing to be, you know, to have these issues and continue to do them than one that acknowledges them and then has a desire and an urgency to change. Amen? And that's what we need to develop within us every day. That has to become our lifestyle. You know what I'm talking about? Because I know when I was in the world, man, my lifestyle, man, was the same thing every day. Get dressed up, look like a gangster, dress like a gangster, and go do things like they do every day. That was my lifestyle. That's all I knew. And so every day, that's what I went out to do. Go hurt somebody, go rob somebody, go lie to somebody, go cheat to somebody, do something. That was the lifestyle. To see if I could do something worse the next day. And as a Christian, I still have those same habits in me. But now I want to do those things to please God now. That's my lifestyle now, is to please God, is to do things that are honorable and pleasing to Him. And I know that I can't do that without Him. I know I can't do it if I'm not in his word. I know I can't do it if I'm not in a personal relationship with Him. I know I can't do it if I'm still hanging out with guys that I used to hang out in the world. I can't do it if I'm still doing the things that I used to do in the world. I can't do it if I'm still going to the same places that I used to go in the world. I'm fooling myself. I'm deceiving myself. I'm lying to myself. Not only that, I'm lying to God. How many can say amen to that? We're lying to God, and you got to know that. You got to know that in your heart. You got to know that in your spirit. Because, see, that's one thing to sin and not know God. It might go a little easier for you. But to continue to sin and to know God and to know who He is, the Bible says that the penalty is more severe for those. Amen? So, I know my messages are sometimes kind of hard and kind of stiff, you know, but that's what they have to be like. Because if they don't feel like that, you know, the Word of God is supposed to change you, convict you, want you to do the right thing. If you gave me a little sugar-coated message, I'll be walking around here with pink shoes, all soft and everything. Amen? I you know what? I want to change. I want to change for the good. Amen? Everybody's looking at my shoes, man. They're white, man. Socks are white, too. Amen? See, the good news is that God has given us His scripture, His word, that we can read, and that gives us hope. How many can say amen to that? We have hope in the Bible. There's hope in the Bible. But there's sometimes, you know, somebody don't even pick up their word. Your only word that you hear is when you come to the service. The only word you hear. You have to learn to spend time in your word. Give effort. Put effort out. God, you got to remember, God is looking down. He's looking down from heaven, and He's looking at us every day. And He knows our heart might be there. But if you don't read His word to know what He desires of us or what pleases Him, then we'll never know. We'll just go on thinking that, oh, what we're doing is fine. Amen? And we might be walking into a pit. But I don't know about you, but I know there's a song that says that once I was lost, once I was blind, but now I can see. You know what? I can see today, and I can read today. And you know one thing I know? I don't have an excuse. Amen? We don't have an excuse. So, you know, to love God is an action word. How many know that love is an action word? And there's got to be some action behind it. And, you know, to show someone that you love them, you have to know who He is. Or who they are. Amen? And the only way you can know that is to read about them. Know about them. Be around them. In fact, you know, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, you know, a lot of us have memorized it. A lot of us have it underlined or highlighted. It's found in Galatians 2:20. If you guys can turn there. You guys probably know it already. Galatians 2:20. The Bible reads like this. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ now that lives inside of me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is an amazing description of the union that we have with Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to that? That, you know, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, guess what? When we accepted him in our life, we hung on that cross with him. We hung on that cross with him. We died with him on that cross. And when he resurrected, guess what? When we believed by faith that he resurrected, guess what? We resurrected as well. Amen? We resurrected as well. So it's no longer I now, because we accepted Jesus Christ in our life now. It's no longer G that's living now. It's Christ now who lives in me. And so the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by Christ who lives in me now. Can I get an amen? And so the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, that he says that greater is he who lives in you than any spirit that is of this world. Amen? That greater is his Holy Spirit that lives in us than any spirit that is of this world. And so that tells us right there that, you know what, no matter what devil comes and speaks to me, no matter what temptation comes and tries to tempt me, that I could always lean on that scripture that greater is he that who is in me than any temptation, any thought, any evil that comes against me. Amen? You can stand on that. See, the one thing that God can't do is he can't lie. And if his word says it, then you got to believe it. And you got to believe it without a doubt that, you know what, no matter what comes my way, I got to believe that. That it's no longer me that lives. Now, I would have fell to it. I would have went with it. But it's no longer I that live. It's Christ who lives in me. Amen? And that's got to be our lifestyle. There's got to be evidence. There's got to be evidence. You know, in the court of law, man, if there's no evidence, man, on whatever they're charging you for, they can't convict you. They can't convict you. But if they had arrested us today, would there be enough evidence for them to convict you of being a Christian? Ask yourself that. Would there be enough? There's got to be evidence in your life. People got to see something different about you. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, the people you hang out with now. Man, he's doing things different now. Man, is that who you? Is that him? Or are you sure that's her? Man, last time I seen them, they were all tore up. Well, that was before they accepted Jesus Christ in their life. There's got to be something. You know what? The only Jesus Christ they're going to see is the life that we live. Amen. They got to see something. You can't convince somebody to come to church or something. You still living out there like the world's living? Amen? We got to start thinking, changing our mindset. You know what, man? I've been falling short. I've been falling real short. And I want to live a life that's pleasing to God, because I'm grateful for what he's done for me. I'm grateful. God, forgive me. Forgive me, man. I've been falling short. I've been playing church. You know, I haven't even been reading my word. I haven't even been spending time on my knees. You know, we get to deceiving ourselves, thinking, I heard a Bible study on the way to work. Or I get the thought for the day. Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen. 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 Woo! Praise God. Lying devil, man. The devil tried to shut me up right now. Boy forgot, man. That boy forgot, man, who we're running with. We're running with Jesus, man. Ain't no weapon formed against me that can prosper. Amen. See, before we can really appreciate what God has done for us and what God has done for us in our lives, you know, we need to understand that, you know what, just from the very beginning when Adam and Eve, you know, when they committed the sin in the garden and everything, man, disobedience right then and there, man, it fell upon every one of us. So there was no way out. You know, we were all born into it. And you can see it, you see it as babies. Even as babies, babies look so innocent. But even babies, man, so innocent, they'll start crying. And, you know, they'll trick you out. They're like, you know, they're always, you know, rebelling and no, man, and you know, and you're thinking look how cute. It ain't cute. It's that rebellion spirit that's in them. It's all of us. And so that's in us. We look so innocent. But we see that's just something that, you know, that was why, you know, God had to come and He had to send His Son down for us. He had to send His Son down for us because you know what was going to happen then? We were all going to just die. And there was no remedy, but God sent His only begotten Son. And so that's the one thing that we need to understand. The number one thing that we got to understand tonight, you know, if you're taking notes, the first thing that is that we have a union with Christ now because we have been crucified with Him. Just like I said, we hung with Him on that cross, you know, and, you know, bearing every penalty that we deserved. He bared every penalty that we deserved, death. We all had the death penalty. I'm going to say amen to that. We were all on death row, whether you believe it or not. Before you accepted Christ in your life, you guys had a number. We all had a number, man. But praise be to God, man, we got pardoned. We got paroled. Amen? We got paroled, man. And so when that happened, when he hung on that cross, it was as if we were hanging on that cross, because our sins hung on that cross, just like I just shared. The Bible in Romans 6:3, it talks about us being baptized into Christ Jesus' death. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Did you know that? We have been baptized into his death. And through Christ, our sins are forgiven and we have been declared righteous. We have been, that act alone declared us righteous. Because otherwise, like I said, we were on death row. And if you understand that, man, that's something to be grateful for. You got to understand, man, the price that was paid, it was a price that none of us could ever pay or repay. However, even though our guilt has been removed, we still battle with sin. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Paul was talking about it heavily, man, in Romans chapter 7, where he talked about, man, though he wanted to do good things, he continued, you know, that sin that was born within him, and it battled with his holy, that flesh wanted to rise up in him, and he wanted him to do those things that the flesh wanted to do. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's a battle that goes on. It's a battle that goes on within us. And that's why sometimes we feel like failures when it comes to living a Christian life. Because sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. And sometimes we make mistakes where we're thinking, man, you know what, man? I don't even think God, I'm not even going to go to church, man. Because I'm over here making a mockery out of him. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you won't even come because you've done things. But you got to understand, you know, that's just the nature of us. Paul struggled with that. And you guys know who Paul was. He was the highest called apostle out of them all. He gave his life, man. He gave his life to the point of where they chopped his head off. That's how much, man, of a follower of Christ he was. He loved Christ that much to the point of death. He didn't care because he had heard from God. He knew that God had spoken to him. Because you remember early on in Acts chapter 9 when he was persecuting the church of Christ, he was killing Christians until God had to knock him off his high horse, man, and spoke to him, spoke to his heart, and then he knew. Then he knew, man, that what he was doing was wrong. All along, what they were talking about, to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that Jesus was him. He finally believed it because Jesus had to knock him off his horse. And he spoke to him. And when that happened, his whole life changed. His whole life changed. That's why, you know what, you know, today you can tell a Christian, a true converted, true repentant Christian is when he's had that personal encounter with Christ, just like Paul had. That conversion, the change. He went from killing them to leading them and saving them. Up until the point of dying for them, being stoned and killed. And you guys probably know the story if you read it. Paul was sold out for Christ. Amen. Okay, so we know that we have been saved, but we still disobey God, you know, not wanting to, but because of the sin that dwells within us. The problem is that although the Holy Spirit now indwells in us, we still live in these human bodies, man, and these human bodies are going to be like this until Christ comes. And this is why I say you got to stand on his word. You got to stand on his truth, man, that you know what? No matter what comes against us, ain't no weapon, ain't no nothing. I just quoted some scriptures that greater is he who's in us, you know, that nothing can overcome the power of Jesus Christ in our life. Amen? See, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition of one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. If you would turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. Let's turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. 16 to 17. The spirit warring against the flesh. These things are battling with one another inside you. You know, you're wanting to do the right thing, but you continue to struggle and do the wrong thing. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I tell you, if you live by the Spirit, then you will not do what your sinful selves want." Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other, so you cannot do just what you please. How many can say amen to that? So there's this battle going on. There's this battle that's going on within us. But it says, you know, so if this is why Paul was telling the Galatian church that, look, in order for you, man, to abstain from that lifestyle, you have to live by the Spirit. Because your flesh wants to war with you, and it wants to trip you. It wants to take you back. Amen? It wants to take you back. So that is the one thing that you got to know, is that, you know what? Number one, we have a union with Christ now. And you know what? No matter what anybody says or what we may think, you know what? We cannot think stronger than what the Word of God is telling us. Amen? That if He is in us, that more power to us than the sin that dwells within us. And so you got to just stand on it, you got to believe it, and then you got to walk it. Amen? Remember, we've been crucified with Him. So we're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves to it. Romans 6:6 says that we have been crucified with Him so that we are no longer slaves to sin. We now have Christ's power within us to overcome our fleshly sinful desires because He has given us a new nature. See, our baptism into His death is followed by being raised again to walk with Him in the newness of life. We have a new life now. Amen? The Bible says that that we are new creatures now. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new now. All things have become new now. There's got to be something new about us now. Did you know that you have a new self that has been created in the likeness of God to be holy and righteous? Did you guys know that? To be, Ephesians 4:24 says that we have this new, we have been created in the likeness of God now to be holy and righteous. If you want to write down that scripture, it's found in Ephesians 4:24. You'll never be that person again before your salvation. Your old self has been crucified with Christ, and God has given you a new nature. And you got to believe that in you. You have to believe that. That's why He says that you are a new, that's why He says that we're a new creature. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new create, they are a new creation. All things have passed away, and everything has become new now. Everything has become new now. Amen. Thank God, man, that His word reassures us. His word continues to encourage us. His word continues to change us. But we have to read it. Amen. You have to read His word. Not only do we have to read it, you have to believe it. You have to believe it by faith. How many know that everything is a faith thing here? You have to believe it by faith. The Bible says, man, that faith without, you know, it says like this in Hebrews 11:6. It says that it is impossible to please God without faith. You can't please Him. Don't trick yourself. Don't fool yourself. You have to have faith because that's what pleases God. It's impossible to please Him without faith. You have to believe His word for what it is. You have to believe it. Not only do you have to believe it, but then you got to show it in your walk. See, it's one thing saying something. James said it like this. Don't just be hearers of my word, but you have to be doers of it as well. Do what it says. That's what pleases the Lord. That's what pleases the Lord. And how many know that when you do something, you know, it's like a weightlifter or anybody who does something repetitively, they get good at it. They, you know, a weightlifter, he becomes stronger, man. He, you know, they just become stronger and you get good at it. And that just becomes who you are now. And now they look at, man, was that him? Man, he's different now. And you know, the more you read your word, the more change that's going to come upon your life. How many believe that? You got to read your word. The only way to see it is to read it. That's how you'll know. You see a guy's changing, man, he's different. That guy's probably spending some time in their word. They're probably spending time with God.
Let's see. Amen. And the second thing was that remember, our old self had been crucified. It's no longer us now, that we were conquerors of that sin that lived within us. And the third aspect of our union with Christ is that His life. Oh, I shared that scripture earlier. It was Galatians 2:20, that it's no longer us, but Him that lives in us now. This doesn't mean that we can cease being ourselves, but that Jesus' spiritual life flows through us like sap flows through a branch. How many can say amen to that? In the book of John 15:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If any remain in me and I remain in them, they produce much fruit. But without me, they can do nothing. How many can say amen to that? So that's what I'm talking about. When you know that you have that personal relationship with God, He says He's the vine and we are the branches. If we remain in Him and Him in us, then we're going to produce much fruit. In other words, the only way that we're, you know, I look at it like this. This is Him, His word. If we remain in Him, in the book, and I'm not talking about, we need to put this face in the book and get our face out of Facebook. Amen? And put your face in this book. And you'll start seeing the change. Amen? You'll start building that relationship. Now the fruit will start to come out because we're in the Word. We're connected. He's the vine. We're the branches. Apart from Him, apart from this, we can't do anything. Let's not deceive ourselves. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I go to Bible study. That doesn't say nothing. It's your relationship that you have with God. That's where the evidence is going to come. I don't know about you, but I want to be walking around where there. I know that there's enough evidence for them to convict me for being a Christian. Here, take me. I'm guilty. Take me. You know, I'm guilty. That's how I want to be recognized.
You know, and you know, like I said, you know what? The only ways you, there's three things you got to do. Number one is you got to read your word. You got to stay connected to the vine. You got to stay in the vine. Because if we do, it says right here that we will, then we will produce much fruit. Much fruit. Number, and another thing we got to do is we got to continue to just worship him and acknowledge him for who he is. You know, that's spending time in prayer with him. You know, read the book of Psalms. When you're spending time in prayer, I'm not talking about spending time with self-centered prayer where you're just praying, oh, I need this. Oh, God, do this for me, do that for me. That's not what prayer is all about. You know, they taught the disciples early on that the prayer was to acknowledge him for who he was. To tell him, man, to acknowledge him and let him know that you know who he was. God, you're an awesome God. You're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're clothed in majesty and your light is like splendor. Oh, God, who could compare to you? There's no one like you. You're the very breath that I breathe. God, you're the air in my lungs, oh God. You're the reason that I'm alive, oh God. Tell him who he is. Acknowledge him, God. Apart from you, God, I can do nothing. Nothing. Oh, just spend time. Read the book of Psalms and just read to him. You know what? That's how they used to pray back then. They would used to read from the scroll and they would read the scriptures. And because you know what? The scriptures were live. They were the word of God. They were reading the word back to him. And you know, you can't go wrong because what? The word of God is spirit and it's truth. He said to worship him in spirit and in truth. To pray to him in spirit and in truth. You can't go wrong when you're quoting Psalms to him. Oh, because it tells you who he is. And what he's done and what he's continued to do and what he's going to do. Amen? Oh, you got to know who he is. You got to know who he is. You got to really know who he is. Amen? Let me read another scripture for you real quick. I had it here. Colossians. Colossians. 1, chapter 1, we're almost done, 9 through 14, and I'm going to read out of that same version that I read out of, the New Century Version. It says, because of this, since the day that we heard about you, we have continued praying for you. This was Paul talking to the church that he heard about those who had gave their life to the Lord and became followers of Christ. Since we've heard about you, he's saying, we have continued praying for you and asking God that you will know fully what he wants. What a prayer that is. That God would show us fully what he wants of us, not how we want. How many know that sometimes we want to serve God the way we want to? You know, we thinking, oh, this will please God. No. You got to read your word. You got to read your word to know what pleases him. You know, because sometimes we think that we're pleasing, just like the story I shared last week, where Cain knew. I mean, Abel knew what it was that pleases the Lord. So he brought what pleased the Lord. And the Lord was happy and pleased with it. But Cain just brought whatever. He brought what he thought was cool. Oh, I'll just take this and this and this and that. And God rejected his offering. And this is why I'm saying we got to know what pleases him. This is why Paul was saying, we pray to God and we ask God that you will fully know what he wants of you. We pray that you will also have great wisdom and understanding in spiritual things. What a prayer. What a prayer he's praying. Oh, not that. Oh, that he will get that job. Or that he'll get that house. Or that he'll get that woman, or that she'll get that. No. Those things, man, you know, he's talking about the things that's going to keep us. The things that matter. How many can say amen? See, our flesh wants the things that we want. But God knows the things that we need. Verse 10. So that you will live the kind of life that honors and pleases the Lord in every way. Who wants to live that kind of life? You know what? Everyone should have raised their hand right there, because if you're grateful for what he's done in your life, you need to be happy. You need to be grateful. You need to say, you know what, God? If you are willing to do this for me, Paul said, you know what? I'm willing to die for you. That's what it meant to pick up my cross and follow him. That he was willing to die and hang on the cross just like Jesus did, because he knew what Jesus had done for him. I mean, you know, that's a hard one to follow. But that's what he was talking about, that you would have that type of a heart. Amen? That we would have that, you know, that we would want to live the kind of life that would honor and please him in every way. You will produce fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God. This is why we need to read, so that we could grow in the knowledge of God. God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when trouble comes. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. He said right there that God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. You will just hold on. Be long-suffering. Just say, man, you know what? I'm just going to hold on and hold and keep holding on. Because your word tells me that you're going to come. How many know that God, man, you know, God's got keeping power? How many can say amen to that? Not only will he save you, but he's got power to keep you. Verse 12, and you will joyfully give thanks to the Father who has made you able to have a share and all that he has prepared for his people in the kingdom of light. Man, how many can say praise the Lord to that one? That deserves a hand clap, man. And you will joyfully give thanks to the Father who has made you able that to have and share in all that he has prepared for his people in the kingdom of light. God has freed us from the power of darkness, verse 13. And he brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son who paid the price for our sins, and in him we have forgiveness. Somebody can say amen to that. Man, praise the Lord to that. You know what? We are truly blessed. You know, sometimes we take it for granted that, you know, that we're saved and, you know, God has blessed us with the church to go, but you know, that's all right. A lot of us, you know, are at different phases in our walk with the Lord. I'm going to say amen to that. But that's why it's important that we establish new relationships with other believers. Amen? So that we can help encourage and build and uplift one another. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that you start making, you know, hey, you know, doing things different. You know, God doesn't save us so that we would stay isolated or separated. But God saves us and he changes us, man, from the inside out so that we, in turn, could go and tell others. And that others would, and that it would be contagious. Amen? God didn't call us just to be in a church building. Amen? God went and he preached the gospel from city to city, just as Paul, he passed the baton to Paul, and that's how they went. They went out preaching the gospel. And so every opportunity that the Lord gives us, you know, we need to share that. We need to share the goodness. Just like the young lady just got up here and just testified about her grades. Man, that's powerful that she said right away when she said, and then I prayed to God. Whoa, that right there, man, hurt me. She said she was mad and didn't care for a minute, but then she prayed to God, and everything changed. Amen? Everything changed. Praise God that someone young like that is learning, man, what to do when times get rough, when times get hard. You got to pray to God. Amen. So you know what? In closing, consider all that Christ, you know, we need to just consider everything that Christ has done for us. Just stop for a minute. Just consider everything that he's done for us. Think of the worst times that you've been in your life when you were able to cry out to God, man, and he was there for you. I can remember. I can remember. One day, you know, I asked the pastor if I can come up here and just share a little bit of my story. Not that my story's, you know, but something happened in my life that was real. And it was life-changing. And I've never looked back again because God showed himself real to me. And I know that he's able to do what he says he can do. You know, but you need to consider everything that he's done. And that's why, you know, a lot of times before, that's what keeps me going, is I always remember where I was when I cried out for him. And he heard me. How can we turn from him to go back to and live for ourselves? You ever ask yourself that? Because that's what that lifestyle will do if we continue to just ignore him for who he is and just say, oh, well, you know what? That's just who I am. You need to remember, it's not who you are. We just read, it's no longer you, but Christ now who lives in you. You're representing the King of Kings, you know that. The Lord of Lords. Remember that. That's who you're representing. Amen? He's provided everything that we need to live a holy life if we will just believe it and act on it. And act on what he said in his word. Amen? See, because this Christian lifestyle that we live, it should be in a response of our gratitude for what he's done. And that's what I'm saying. You need to just remember those things or those places or the hurts and the pain that that you found yourself in when you cried out and he was there for you. And how many know that there's going to be times ahead of us as well that we're going to need him to be there. We're going to need him to give us that strength. We're going to need him to be with us. He's going to use us to be there for others. Amen? There's going to be people who are giving up on life and giving up on hope. And you know, God's going to use our life to share a word of encouragement, to share a word of life to them. Amen? Us, simple people like us that love God, that are grateful to God for what he's done. People who don't want no applause or don't want no recognition. They do it out of the gratitude of their heart. They do it because they're led by the Holy Spirit of God that lives in them. Amen? So, how many got something here tonight? You know what? I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to go ahead and close. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. And I'm not going to have no altar call or nothing. But I do want to have this time to reverence the God, to reverence the Lord right now. I want everybody to stand right now and just bow your head down. And we're gonna go before the Lord. And I'm gonna give you a moment before I start praying. I want every head bowed and every eye closed right now. And I want you to go before the Lord in your heart right now. Because God knows what you're thinking. God knows who you are. God knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. And he just wants you to just cry out to him from within. Just search your heart right now and ask God to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, Father, I ask you right now, God, that you would forgive each and every one of us in here tonight, Lord, for the things that we've done or continue to do, Lord, that are unpleasing to you, Lord. I'm asking that you would please forgive us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, God, where we find ourselves weak. I pray that you would place convictions within our hearts, God. I pray that you would remind us, God, the lifestyle that you want us to live. A life that is holy. A life that seeks righteousness, Lord. A life that wants to please you, Lord. Your word reminds us, God, that without holiness, no one will see you. And so, Lord, help us. Because I know everyone in here wants to live that life that would please you, Lord. So I'm asking you, God, to bless every person in this place tonight. Give us strength, God, where we need it. God, and meet all of our needs, Lord. I pray that we will continue to bless you with our lives, Lord, and that we would live them just as your word tells us to, as a living sacrifice, that we would live our lives and everything that we do, that you would be blessed, God. So I thank you, Lord, tonight for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, because we know that it was you and you alone that moved in this place. I thank you, Lord, tonight, God. I pray your blessing upon everyone here tonight, God. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand praise tonight.
on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.